Hello, welcome to another episode of Guns and Yellow Ribbons. My name is Fergus. This is the preview show for Game Week 30. We will be looking at all the fixtures around the grounds, Newcastle, West Ham. We'll be looking at Tottenham, Luton, looking at Chelsea, Burnley. But in the main, we will be looking at the top of the table and Liverpool, Brighton. But the main event will be the big game Sunday afternoon, Manchester City versus Arsenal. I hope you enjoy the show. Here we go.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Let's just be clear here. Normal service has resumed. I'm back in the house, as they say. I'm back in control. Trevor, thank you very much for last week. You done a great job. I had to listen back, and I'd probably give you 6.5 out of 10.
Do you know what? You need to watch yourself, son, because I'm giving you nothing out of 10 for that intro you've just done. 0 out of 10. It is not Man City v Arsenal on Sunday. It is Man City v the Arsenal on Sunday.
Correct.
The correct. Arsenal. Sort correct. Yourself out.
I'm reading what I've got down here. So, yeah, don't shout to me.
I've not slept for the last three nights. My head's a shed. It's the most important game we've played in years. I'm 60-odd years old. I shouldn't still get nervous. But I am so nervous, so excited. Don't want to talk about anything else tonight apart from Man City Arsenal. Can talk all night about it. Come on, you Gunners. I'm excited. I might have to disappear in a minute because on average, I'm having a nervous wee about every 20 minutes. So I might have to disappear and do a Fergus tonight. All right. So if I go blank, and I'll turn my mic off as well so you can't hear me. All right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. Alex, we've done a lot of work on this one. We've got a bit of information, all the games that we're going to look through. I'm back in Blighty, so it's 3-2 in the European side of things. How are you, Alex?
I'm good. I'm buzzing because, I mean, being back here means the Arsenal's back. So no more watching Denmark versus Faroe Islands on a cold Tuesday night. So yeah, I can't wait for the Arsenal to be back, and I'm in two minds about it because I'm really excited, but then I'm really really nervous for the weekend's game. It's a massive game, but can't wait for football to be back, proper club football. Mm.
Dan, so big that it's almost impossible for us to, one, get my words out, but two, get tickets. Unfortunately, I can't go up this weekend, but you still are available to go, but can't get a ticket to the game. Got it?
Yeah, of course. Always. Always got it if I can't now. Got the bug, and it's just one of those things. But, you know, still on the lookout. Don't give up. I'm still on here to annoy you. So, all good. We'll still be here to do what we do and hopefully get one. But, yeah, we'll see. Fergus, have you muted yourself?
Fergus is on mute.
You're on mute, mate.
I didn't. Somebody else done it. On Saturday, there's 8 games.
Oh, yeah, right.
Can we bring back the other Fergus, please? The other one's a little bit better.
So we got 8 games. Newcastle, West Ham, Bournemouth, Everton, Chelsea, Burnley, Nottingham Forest, Crystal Palace, Sheffield United, Fulham, Tottenham, Luton, Villa, Wolves, and Brentford, Man United. Of those games, Trevor, which ones of those games on Saturday, which couple of those games on Saturday stand out to you as games that you'd like, that you might watch?
None of them. Don't care. Honestly, Ferg. Honestly, none of them. Don't care. I didn't even know who was playing each other until you just put that up there, mate. Me head's just been Arsenal, Man City all week. I can't get it out of my head. It's so important. So important game. Tomorrow, let's look down the list. If I have to, Saturday, excuse me, if I have to choose a game to watch at 3 o'clock on Saturday, I'll probably watch Bournemouth Everton because I like Bournemouth.
Okay. Let's go through the games then. So if we look at the Newcastle game, first of all, you've got Newcastle-West Ham as the 12:30 kickoff. The last game was a 2-2 draw at the London Stadium on the 8th of October. And the last time West Ham beat Newcastle at St. James's Park was August 2021. What's your thoughts on this game, Alex?
Well, both teams really need a win. Both are having quite a mid-season. I think Newcastle would have been expecting to be higher up in the table than they are now with the amount of money they've spent. Probably haven't spent it right, especially on Sandro Tonali, who probably looking at another ban from the FA on top of what he's got already. But I think it's going to be a tight affair. West Ham, they've done well the last couple of games. They progressed in the Europa League as well, quite convincingly. Bowen's playing well. Kudus is playing well. But we know St. James's Park is a difficult place to go. But yeah, I think they can get a point off there, West Ham.
You've gone for a point. What score are you going on there?
I'll go for 1-1.
You're going for 1-1. Newcastle United's form at the moment, Dan, is they've lost one, lost, drawn, and one. West Ham are drawn, one, one, lost. What's your thoughts on this game? Early kickoff, they're never the best ones.
Yeah, they always say never back the early kickoff, don't they? But I still can't look past Newcastle for this one, to be honest. Newcastle's a strong side at home. You look at West Ham on their sort of form on the road, they tend to win or lose. They don't draw many games. So I think it'll probably be an open game, but I think Newcastle's still the better side. They've started to get over a few of their injuries that caused a bit of their sort of form issues. They're still a half decent side, especially at home. So I would expect Newcastle to beat West Ham.
Score prediction?
I'll go for 3-1 Newcastle.
3-1, wow, okay. Trevor, your thoughts on this game? We're not going to spend a lot on all the all the games, otherwise we'll be here forever.
Well, I'm a bit worried already because me and Dan are agreeing. I must just mention, I think that Jarrod Bowen is absolutely flying at the moment. I thought he was England's best player. I watched the game because Rice was captain the other night. And I thought that of all the players on the field, I thought Jarrod Bowen was England's best player. I was a bit gutted to see him go off, playing really well. But I'm with Dan here. I think that Newcastle have left too much on current form home to West Ham. I've got written down here 3-1 to Newcastle as well, mate.
We've gone 3-1. The next one that we've got is a 3 o'clock kickoff. It's Bournemouth versus Everton. Everton won 3-0 at home in October. The 1-0 the next time they met to Everton. And 3-0 to Bournemouth in November 2022. Of the last five meetings, Everton won two and the Cherries have won three. The form guide for them is Bournemouth are one drawn, one loss, drawn. Everton have had three losses and two draws in that. It's 13th versus 16th. Yes, they've got the points deduction, but they are hovering over the bottom end of the table. Trevor, I'll go to you first. What's your thoughts on this? I think it's going to be a bore fest. Oh, by the way, my prediction was 1-1 for the Newcastle game.
Yeah, I don't want to see Everton go down. I really don't. I don't think any team should go down on the back of a massive point deduction. And I quite like Everton. I like a trip up to their place. It's always a good day out. But Bournemouth, for me, have just been lifting their game a little bit recently, just picking up a little bit. And I think Bournemouth will be a bit strong for Everton. And I've gone 2-1 to Bournemouth, Ferg.
2-1 to Bournemouth. Dan, come to me on this one.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking Everton will nick this one, to be honest. I think Everton form this year away from home has been better than at home, which is a surprise because Goodison's normally a tough place to go to, but I think the pressure from the fans has got to them a little bit. But on the road, they are slightly better. I think the Forest deduction will pick them up as well a little bit. I just think Bournemouth at the minute is so hit and miss. They're a good side. They started well, but they've had a massive dip. And I think they're going to struggle to get out of that dip. I think they'll stay up, but I think they're riding off of their early season form.
Okay, and your prediction?
2-1 Everton, I'm going to go for.
I knew we couldn't agree for long, Dan.
Yeah, not on everything.
I'm gone 2-0 for Bournemouth. I think their recent form, contrary to what you said, Dan, is much, much better than Everton's. And I think that point deduction is starting to weigh heavy on them. Alex, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think I'm more with Trev on this one. They've had a bit of a dip, as Dan said, but they've bounced back in the last three games, and especially the game against Luton where they came back from 3-0 down was a crazy game. And Solanke is on 15 goals now this season, so I think it'll be a bit too much for Everton, who haven't won in the last five games. So I think Bournemouth will win 2-1.
You've gone 2-1 home. Okay, the next game that we got on there is Chelsea versus Burnley. Palmer and Chilwell should be available. Burnley have got the last point they got against Chelsea was in 2021, and that was a 1-1 draw at Stamford Bridge. Both teams are not in great form, but they've won the last game. Newcastle 3-2 for Chelsea and Brentford 2-1 for Burnley. Both home games. Their forms are Chelsea 1-1, 1-1, Burnley 1-1, 1-1, 11th versus 19th. Burnley are sure for the drop. My prediction is 3-1. Alex, I'll go to you. Dan, I'll go to you first on this one.
Yeah, I can't really look past Chelsea, unfortunately. And it's not because they're any good. It's just because I think Burnley are that bad. You'd normally expect those sort of sides around this time of the year to be picking up. And I know they nicked a win, but they did it against 10 men in the end, didn't they, against Brentford. They were, I think, two up in the game before that they chucked away a lead as well. They don't look Premier League quality for me. And even a side like Chelsea, I think, will turn them over. So I'm going to go for 3-1 to Chelsea. 3-1
to Chelsea. Trevor, I do like what Kompany's trying to do. He's trying to make him play football, but it is definitely men against boys for Burnley in the league. What's your views on this game and how Burnley are?
Yeah, I actually like Kompany. He's gone into a really difficult job at Burnley. I don't think they're good enough to stay in the league this season. And Chelsea, I think, although they've been hit and miss this season, we've got to remember they have got some quality. They've just not used that quality sensibly, have they? I mean, for me, Cole Palmer is probably right up there amongst the best young players of the season. And he's not had a lot around him, but I can't see Burnley going anywhere near getting anything out of this game. I've actually got this to be of a goal fest for Chelsea. I've got this to be 4-0 to Chelsea, folks.
Wow. Okay. Alex, they do leak a lot of goals as well, do Burnley. Trafford, as a keeper, is very slight, very young. He's not a very tall keeper either. How do you see this going?
Yeah, I agree with the boys. I think they'll struggle, Burnley, as they've done in every other game they've played this season. I think they'll get a goal, though. Chelsea's defence has been quite leaky the last couple of games. I think they've conceded 8 goals in the last 4 games. So I think they'll get a goal, but I think Chelsea will have too much quality, and especially with Cole Palmer, as Trev said, he's had 19 goal involvements this season. Quite impressive, as it's his first season for Chelsea, and he's a young player coming into a dysfunctional team in Chelsea. But I'm going for a 4-1 win for Chelsea.
It does look like a lot of goals going in at Stamford Bridge. I've gone 3-1, Dan 3-1, 4-1 and 4-0. Next game that we've got is Nottingham Forest versus Crystal Palace. It's going to be a strange old day up there after the passing of Larry Lloyd today. He was a double European Cup winner. And the atmosphere, which is normally quite loud there anyway, I expect, Trevor, will be very, very loud. Forest have won 3 of the last 7 games that they've played against each other. 4 of them have been draws. The last win for Forest was November the 2nd. And for Palace, it was Forest 2, Palace 1. And the previous to that was in 1995 away at Selhurst Park. And that was a 2-1 as well for Forest. Form guide for Forest is drawn, lost, 1. Crystal Palace is drawn, lost, 1, drawn, lost, 18th versus 14th. But Forest have had 4 points taken off them. Trevor.
Yeah, do you know, firstly, you've shocked me a little bit there, Fergus. I've not seen any of the news today. I had no idea Larry Lloyd had passed away. Fine player for Nottingham Forest he was. Very decent player indeed. And my thoughts go out to Forest fans and his family. As for the game itself, Ferg, I can't make head nor tail of Palace this season. I listened to Roy Hodgson before he left there, and he said it a few times. We're not going to win the league, but these players at Palace are too good to go down, you know. But then I've looked at some of the performances and I thought, wow, this is dire. They're really not doing it, Palace. And I honestly think that Forest will have enough to beat Palace on Saturday. I've gone 2-0 to Forest, mate. I have.
You've gone 2-0 to Forest. Alex, your thoughts?
I think for me, it's got a draw written all over it. I think Oliver Glasner, their new manager, Palace, he's done pretty well coming in the last couple of games. Forest haven't won in the last 5 games. But it's a good opportunity for them to bounce back. I just don't think they'll get all 3 points against Palace. They've been pretty good defensively, Palace. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
1-1. Okay, I did think that. Personally, I think it's going to be 2-1 because it's going to repeat of itself. Dan, your thoughts?
I mean, this hasn't been a really high-scoring game the last few times they've played. I think there's been a 0-0, a 1-0, a 1-0, and a 1-1. So, and you've got a team like Forest, I think, scored 1 goal in 4 games. Palace very rarely score more than 1 goal as well. Honestly, I feel like the deduction might give Forest a lift and it might be like a 1-0 Forest, but I think most likely I'll probably go for a 1-1 draw. I'm not quite sure that Forest have got enough to beat Palace at the minute. I think they've looked better since they've changed manager. I think they might even struggle to get that 1 goal, but yeah, I can't really tell them apart, so I'm going to go for a draw and 1-1.
Alex, quick question on this one. As you're in Europe and not in the UK, you can see the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Will the Forest Palace game be on your list of ones that you might tune into?
Oh, probably not. I'm not sure.
No.
Could be a bit of a ball fest, low scoring game. Might choose one.
It's 4-4 now we've said that, hasn't it, really? It's definitely going
to
be.
Yeah, probably. It's just bound to be. Yeah. Next up is Sheffield United versus Fulham. They've met each other 5 times. Fulham have won 5. Sheffield had a draw. All home wins for everybody. Fulham drew last in October 2020 when it was 1-1. And previous to that, they lost 2-0. The form guide for Sheffield is drawn, lost, 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 won. Fulham won, especially against Spurs, was brilliant. Lost, 1-1, and lost is 20th. Sheffield definitely doomed to go down versus quite a good Fulham, especially when they've got Paulinho in the midfield. I'm going for a 3-0 away win to Fulham. Dan, I'll go to you first.
You see, if Fulham was at home, I'd say absolute nailed on Fulham to win.
Yeah.
But Fulham's away form, actually. I think the only team they've beat recently away from home is Man United, surprisingly. And when you go to a team like Sheffield that are going to sit in and have been battered by many, many teams recently, I don't know. I think they're going to struggle to break them down. I think this for Sheffield now, it's do or die. So I think this is the time of season where they become tougher to play. I think it could end up with a 1-1 draw.
Alex?
Yeah, I was going to go with a Fulham win, but I just looked at their games and I think they've only won 1 away game in the Premier League this season. So, but I mean, they are massive favourites and they've played really, really well. Their striker, Rodrigo Muniz, is a brilliant player. I think he's done well. Solid midfield with Paulinho as well. I mean, logically, they'd get a win, but with only 1 away win this season, I'm going with a draw. 1-1.
1-1. And Trevor, finally?
Mute, mate.
Jesus Christ, sweet man. The only form guide I can take off is Sheffield United is how I've seen them play, and I've seen them play twice this season. Absolutely awful. So I think Fulham are good enough to go there and win. I honestly think Fulham are good enough to go there and win. 2-1. I want 2-1 Fulham.
2-1. Dan, what was your prediction? I just forgot to write it down.
1-1 for that game.
1-1. Okay. Right.
You're holding me to account for it, are you?
What's that?
You're holding me to account or are you putting a bet on this weekend?
No. I'm just writing them down. I've done it the last time. I've done absolutely nothing with them. But, you know, it's just, it's nice to write them down. Just, I don't know. It just seems I should.
Well, if I make you money, remember me.
The next one is Spurs versus Luton. the last time, it's the second meeting the Spurs have had against Luton in the Premier League. The last time they scraped a win, but so did we, and so have many other teams at Kenilworth Road, because it's a different sort of place. The form guide for that: Tottenham lost against Fulham last week, 1-1, lost and won. Luton drawn, lost, drawn, lost, fifth versus 17th. Luton are a difficult team to play, Trevor. They're a big side. They've got some players coming back into their side. But I think it's going to be just that little bit too much for them away from home. You're on mute.
I'm not on mute. Look, right, I've given this game some thought, some serious thought, and I wanted to try and side with the underdog, you know. I like to side with the underdog, you know, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it this week to give a full score and go for the underdog. So I've looked at the game. So I'm going to go for
abstain. You can abstain if you want.
No, I'm going to go for the best team to win. I can't go for the underdog this week. I'm going to go for the best team to win. So I'm going to go Luton to win 11-0. All right?
11-0 to Luton. I'm abstaining so on that one. Alex, thoughts on Tottenham versus Luton? It's almost a no. It's not. It's Middlesex versus Derby. Bedford.
Well, it went. It didn't go well the last time. Trev predicted. I think he predicted 16-0 to Villa, and Tottenham ended up winning 3 or 4-0. So hopefully, if I can go the other way around, and go with a Tottenham 3-0 win, hopefully Luton will win.
Dan,
deep breath. Trev.
I think you're probably right, and I would match your score, Alex.
Who are these two on the left side of this podcast, Trevor?
They're making me feel sick to the pit of my stomach. Right.
I'll try and put some sense into the answer.
Good man.
Spurs haven't drawn at home, so I think I'm going to rule out the draw. And if you look at Luton's last few games, they've been very tight. It's been either a draw or a one goal difference. So you've got a team like Luton absolutely fighting to stay in the league against a little chicken on a beach ball club that are really hit and miss. So tomorrow, whenever it is, Saturday, is going to be a miss. And I'm going to go for 2-1 Luton.
Excellent.
That would be a turn up for the books, wouldn't it? That would be
a turn up. Also, being realistic, I don't think that is an unrealistic scoreline, because
no, I don't think
this time of year throws up things like that. And Spurs have been hit and miss.
I feel like nothing is unrealistic in this Premier League season.
Correct. And Spurs also play that very high line. And so can Luton. So I think Luton can get behind them. And I think if Luton go ahead, they'll hold on for dear life. And yeah, you never know. You never know. I don't think it's going to be 3 goals in the game.
Luton's problem.
And Spurs are an awful side and we hate them. And they get battered everywhere they go. So
Luton's problem this year hasn't been scoring goals. Luton scored goals. They've scored plenty of goals. And against the Pochettino's eye line, they'll be looking forward to that. They'll be looking
Pochettino.
Forward to
that. It's a couple of years ago, mate.
What?
Pochettino.
Oh, what's his name? Postecoglou. Similar.
Postecoglou.
Both clowns. Yeah.
Right. Next up, we got the Black Country Derby. Is it the Black Country? Yeah, it will be. Aston Villa versus Wolves, the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. It's going to be, it's always a very fiery game for them. It's a big local rivalry. They played each other 17 times in the Premier League. Villa have won 6. And Villa have won 5 and Wolves have won 6. There have been 6 draws. The last time they met was 1-1. Wolves last beat Villa at Villa Park in 2021, and that was a 3-2 win to the away team. Form guide for them is Villa drew, lost, 1-1-1. Wolves won, lost, 1-1, lost. So Wolves have got slightly better form. I think it'll be a draw. I think the way Wolves are playing at the moment, they can score goals, and so can Villa. I've gone for a 2-2 draw on this one. I think it could be a cracker of a game. Alex?
Yeah, I agree. I think Wolves have surprised a lot of us this season. They're above the likes of Newcastle, Chelsea and Fulham, who's always doing doing good as well. So I think they've surprised me this season, especially they've been without Neto, one of their best players for most of the season. So he's doing a really good job, Gary O'Neill. Villa at home, though, is a difficult task. And I kind of want Villa to win as well, because I want them to finish above Tottenham and take that fourth place ahead of them. And I think they had a tight schedule before the break, but I think after the break, they've had time now. I think Villa will win 3-1 against Wolves.
3-1 to the home team. Trevor?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at this game in a slightly different, with a slightly different perspective, in that we play Villa and Wolves in the coming weeks. You know, in the not too distant future, we've got games against both of those teams. And Villa Wolves, Black Country derbies, as you call them, are normally real spicy affairs. And I just hope they kick each other off the park. I really do. There are fouls and sending offs and bookings everywhere. I hope it ends up 7-a-side at the end of the game, because I follow the Arsenal and that would do us. Thinking about the football for a second, I can't see it being anything other than a draw, me, to be honest. Villa are all right. And Wolves are really bang on at the moment. So I'm going 1-1, Ferg.
1-1. And if anybody didn't know, this is an Arsenal podcast, so it's all Arsenal bias. So we always look at it from an Arsenal point of view. On that note, Dan, how do you look at this game?
Well, I'm not biased. I just genuinely understand how good Arsenal are as a club and everyone else is rubbish. So I'm just saying the truth, to be honest, mate. But okay. This game, yeah, I'm looking forward to this game, to watching this on TV. I think it's going to be quite tasty. I do think there'll be possibly a man sent off in this game as well. But Villa's home form has obviously been great all season. They've had a bit of a tail off recently, but still very good this season. Wolves, though, when they go away from home, they tend to get big away wins at clubs that have good home records. And if you look at their recent records between Villa and Wolves, it's either draws recently or Wolves nick a win. So Villa don't seem to like playing Wolves for some reason quite recently. And given their sort of drop-off, I'm going to agree and go with a draw. But I think it will be quite open, quite fiery, and maybe a 2-2 draw.
2-2 draw, same as me. And finally, on Saturday evening, 8 o'clock kickoff, we've got Brentford at home to Manchester United. Man United, they're head-to-head, 5 games against Brentford. Only once have Brentford won. That was a home game. It was a 4-0 in August 2022. It's the second season. That was their second season in the Premier League. Form guide for Brentford is lost, lost, drawn, lost, lost. Man United, despite what we all think that they're a bit of a shambles, they've won, lost, lost, won, won, won. I don't know. Will Thomas Frank and Ivan Toney kick in? I can't stand Man United either. But I think there might be a turn up for the books, and Brentford get their second victory, and it'll be a 3-2 to Brentford. Dan, I'll go to you first.
Oh, this hurts to say this, but I genuinely think Man United is going to turn over Brentford, to be honest with you. I quite like Brentford as a club, but their form recently has been awful. They're really, really struggling. And United, just however awful they look, they somehow dig something out quite often. And I think they could genuinely push for the top 4 or 5 this season still. So I'm going to go for, I think, 4-1 Man United. I think they're going to absolutely turn them over.
4-1 to Man United.
Wow. And I'm only saying that because I quite like them to catch Spurs. So
that would be good. You imagine if Villa and United finish above them. Yeah. Alex?
There is positives there.
Yeah, I think I agree with Dan. They've been in poor form, Brentford, but they're always a tricky place to come to, especially for the big teams. They usually struggle against Brentford. And they've got Brian Mbeumo back as well now. He played a couple of minutes in the last Premier League game, so he should be fit for the game. And I think he could be a threat on the counter-attack with Toney as well. So I can see them scoring. Question is if they score enough goals. And I can see it being a draw, optimistically, for Brentford. I'm going with a 1-1 draw.
You're going with a 1-1 draw. And finally, Trevor on this one.
Yeah, well, do you know what, Fergus? Firstly, I've got to congratulate Sky TV on getting the scheduling right on this one, because we moan often enough about the scheduling of the games and Sky not thinking about the fans. Well, you know, Brentford's in London, and what they've done is they've sent Man United to London late on a Saturday night because that's where all their fans are anyway. So well done, Sky. Thank you for considering the fans. Much, much appreciated. As for the game, I honestly don't agree with any of you on it. I don't think that Man United will play well under a bit of pressure. And I think that Brentford will have enough to turn them over. I honestly do. I think it's going to be 1-0 Brentford for me. I just feel that Tony's still getting back into the run of things. He's lifting every game. Rashford, capable of some superb football, but don't do it enough. Don't do it. Doesn't seem interested most of the time, you know. Fernandez is great at rolling on the floor, getting in the ref's face, appealing for the opposition to get cards. But when it actually comes to playing football, he can't do it, Fernandez. When he's made to try and play football, he can't do it. And I just think that Brentford are going to turn him over on Saturday. I honestly do.
Proper
captain. He is a little rat, but yeah. Just an interesting stat on Brentford, right? Conceded at least 2 goals in 5 of the last 6 games. Twice in that period, 4 goals. One team they conceded only 1 goal to, Man City. The only team. The one I'd probably be a bit surprised to see.
Weird.
Trevor, you do agree with some of us because I went for Brentford home win as well. So I went
Excuse me, folks. Sorry, mate. Yeah,
that's
sorry.
Fine. That's fine. Okay, we're on to Sunday. Super Sunday. The main event is on at 4:30. But the build-up is one of the title rivals. It's Liverpool versus Brighton. Liverpool have a long list of injuries with Robertson just injured on international duty. Trent Arnold and Jota are a couple of weeks away from fitness. But Jones and Darwin Nunes could be fit, and Konate returned to action for France on the international duty. Brighton could feature former Liverpool player James Milner. He could make a return to the pitch, and also João Pedro is available. But who will start up top? Will it be Duncan? It's just Evan Ferguson or Danny Welbeck. Head to head, Brighton have caused real problems for Liverpool over the years, and they've struggled to a bit in the big games this season. But they've struggled a bit in the big games this season. So have I. The Reds have won just 1 of the last 8 games against the Seagulls. There's 20 wins versus 7 wins and 12 draws. I'm going for a 2-2 draw, which would be a fantastic result for the Arsenal. Trevor, over to you.
Do you know what, mate? You've made me smile there because I was thinking in my head, I've done no work on this today. As you know, I'm not long been in from work. But I was thinking in my head, I'm sure that Liverpool normally struggle a bit against Brighton. I'm sure that Brighton normally get a win with a chance in most of the games. And I'm going with hope rather than head. And I'm saying that if Brighton have given Liverpool tough games before, why shouldn't they do so again, you know? And obviously, I'm taking... talking about this as an Arsenal fan, which I'm allowed to do. I'm going to go right for Brentford to beat Man United at home. For Brighton to beat Liverpool at Anfield, right? I just feel like Danny Welbeck will do us a favour. Score a goal, 1-0 to Brighton. Liverpool bang on the door all game and get no luck. Because it just I've got it in my head that that's what I've seen recently with Brighton and Liverpool. You know, so yeah, I'm going for a Brighton win.
Alex?
I'm just thinking, could we maybe send Trossard over to Anfield for the kickoff and then he can make it to the City game afterwards? Could he'd be a good asset for them. He scored a hat-trick at Anfield last season he played for Brighton. Cracking game. But yeah, they've done well against Liverpool over the last few years, Brighton. But yeah, I mean, looking at it, it's one of those games where as an Arsenal fan, you'd want Liverpool to drop points because I think they've got Brighton and then Tottenham at home, Villa away, and United away as well. And that's probably their most difficult fixtures. So I'm hoping Brighton can get a draw and Liverpool drop 2 points. So I'm going with hope for this prediction, and I'll say 1-1.
Just there's that run in there for everybody as of as of this weekend, so the last 10 games. You're going for 1-1, Alex. Can I have your view on this game, Capo, Dan?
You can. I've just been doing a little bit of trend analysis on this game, considering I'm an accountant, so I brought that side of me out here. 3 years ago, exciting stuff. 3 years ago, Brighton scored one goal. 2 years ago, they scored two goals. 3 years ago, they scored three goals. No, wait, let me start again. I messed it up. 3 years ago, they scored one goal at Anfield. 2 years ago, they scored two goals at Anfield. 1 year ago, they scored three goals at Anfield. So this year must mean they're going to score four.
Oh, yes, please.
And considering Liverpool are unbeaten at home and haven't lost and have only drawn or won, I'm going to go for a draw, which must mean it's going to be a 4-4 game. So I'm going to go for 4-4.
Oh, wow.
I bloody hope so.
It could happen.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine that game and then us leading into the
Welbeck last minute equaliser?
The last time I saw Danny Welbeck do an important last minute equaliser like that, I jumped out of my seat. It was against Leicester City, and I thought Arsenal were going to win the league. And I think
that's if it does 10 that, years ago.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I think if it happens, I will start to believe that little bit more. Look, this is the league table as it stands. Arsenal are top on 64 points and goal difference of 7 goals ahead of Liverpool are also on 64 points, followed by Manchester City on 63 points. So, you know, it is going to be first versus third, 63 points versus 64 points. Before we go into the game, let's have a little bit of this.
I really believe in what Mikel's building here, what the squad is building, and I'm really now looking forward to the future with Arsenal. I've come here really hungry to have more success than to spend my best years at this great club.
I think we can achieve everything.
We are not going away. We're going to Manchester, and we're going to go with Manchester with the spirit of Rocky Rocastle, with all the Arsenal fans. Trevor, that's from last year, a bit of a compilation. I'm gone a little bit goose bumpy watching it all. We've got to go there. Look, I've got some stuff written down and some facts and stuff, but we could probably freestyle this a little bit. I'm getting nervous now already just looking at that.
Mate, I'm struggling to keep it together. I honestly am. The Arsenal Football Club means so much to me and all of us, right? And this is 20 years now we've been waiting for this opportunity. We had a sniff when Leicester won it. We had a sniff last year. But we're overdue this run. I'm so excited about going there. There's no dread. I have absolutely no dread, right? I've no fear. I'm so excited about going there and watching our great team play football against Manchester City. I've got it in my head that we've played them twice this season and they've only scored one goal against us in two games, right? We've scored two goals against them in two games, yeah? But I also know, looking at the other things, looking at Haaland hasn't had a look in either of them two games this season. I don't think he had a shot on target in either of them, you know. And we've got Saliba still in the side. And I'm just thinking, if we nullify Haaland, we continue to do that, then they've got to look elsewhere to score their goals, City. And, yeah, they can score goals from anywhere, but we can defend from anywhere. We've got the best defence in the league, you know. And they haven't got the best attack on goal scored. So everything in me, I'm trying to make it make sense in my head, because I know that I'm falling apart with it all. And now I'm waffling because I can't pull words out like I normally can for this game. That's how important it is to me, you know. That's how important it is to me. I just feel that we're going to go and get a result. No draw. A draw wouldn't be bad, by the way, but no draw. I'm going to be as emotional as hell on Sunday. I'm gutted I won't have any of you three there, because you three keep me together. You're about the only three that can, you know. And, yeah, so that's it. I'm going to have to sharp, Ferg. We're going to win. We're going to win 2-0. We're not going to give a goal away. We're going to win 2-0. I'm going to be drunk until Tuesday. And this is going to put us in a great place to win the league. But one caveat I have to add to that, in a generalisation of everything that's going up at the top of the league, there's many twists and turns to come yet in this season. This weekend isn't defining. It gives us a massive guideline. It gives us a massive pointer. But it isn't necessarily defining this weekend. There's lots of twists and turns to come. But to shut up, Ferg, I'm going to go 2-0 for the Arsenal, mate.
Okay. We will talk a little bit more about the game, but things to talk about on the game is the injuries. You know, we've got Man City. There's question marks over Kyle Walker, Kevin De Bruyne, Emerson, Akanji, and John Stones. While Arsenal await fitness on Martinelli for a foot, Gabby and Saka, who miss international duties. But I think they'll be good. And then we've got the situation where we've got Kivior, Zinny, Tommy, all fighting for the left-back position. We've got Jorginho, Partey, who plays the number six role. Then in the midfield, we got Rice, Trossard, Odegaard. Do we play Jesus off the bench? Do we start Havertz? Loads and loads of questions. Dan, coming to you first of all, and with it being Rocky Day as well, I think that's going to add a bit of extra that to it.
I mean, I think it will add extra, not that it needs it. And I think we go there in a completely different place than we've ever gone there before. And I think this is genuinely the first time I think we can say for many, many years we go there with not just hope, but some level of expectation as well, that we can actually go there and get a very, very good result. And by a good result, I don't mean clinging on to a draw. You know, we can go there and win, and not just win, but win by being the better side, because I think genuinely this year, we are the better side of the two over the course of the season so far. And it's not the be-all and end-all. I think some people are overhyping it as the decider. I don't think it is a decider. And I think on all three results, whatever happens, it isn't going to be the only thing that matters for the rest of this season. We can go there and win. It doesn't mean we win the league. We can go there and draw. It won't mean we win the league. We can go there and lose. It doesn't mean we're out of the league. So I think a little bit of context as well. And I think that will help the players, that we also go there in a different position to last year. Last year, we'd sort of fell away with a bit of form. We'd lost a few players. Confidence was down. We went there needing to win to have any chance of staying in the race. We're not in that position this year. So we can play with a bit more calmness. We play with our own game. And we've got, hopefully, fingers crossed, our best 11 available, which means we can go there and show what we are as a club. Things like form go completely out the window for this game, because we're not the same side that's had that form in recent seasons. You know, you look at the team in 2021 that lost 5-0. Compared to starting lineups, it's a different team, different club, different fan base. It's, everything is completely different to that time. So we're going on recent form, the last two games. We have beaten them both, if you want to count the penalties one as well. They, I think, are probably more nervous playing us at this point than they have ever been in recent seasons playing our team. And it shows with the level of, I think, mind games that they've tried to play Man City with the injuries. And I honestly, I genuinely believe it's nothing more than mind games. I think they're scared a little bit. And I don't think there's many teams that they're scared of, but I think we are one of them now.
Alex, the last time we beat Man City was in 2015. The most common result in this game is a 1-0 generally to Man City. The last four times have ended in that result in the league. Four matches have ended, not the last one, because the last one we lost. We don't have the situation where we've got Rob Holding and a not fully fit party in the team. Where are you on this game, and how are you feeling about it?
I'm nervous, but I'm also more hopeful than I was last year. I think for me, the biggest thing that's changed is obviously we have our best players available, which we didn't have last year. We're probably in better form. But I think for me, the biggest thing is we've overcome sort of this mental hurdle we've had with winning against Manchester City. We've beat them twice already this season. So I think for me, that's a sign showing that the players, they believe, they're confident they can beat Manchester City, which I haven't really felt that with the players before in the last many, many seasons. So I think the players believe, and I think the fans believe as well, that we can go and get a result. And I agree with them with that not being clinging on to a draw. I really think we can go there and get a result. And yeah, the lineup is a tricky one because we've got a lot of players coming back from injury, but I can imagine Arteta probably wants to go with a lineup close to what we finished on before we went on the break. So I think a lot of the players coming back will probably have to wait a little bit before he'll integrate them into the starting 11. But for me, we have to start with Havertz up top. No question for me. We have to start with Jorginho probably as well, with Odegaard and Rice in the midfield. Left back, I'm not sure. I think I still want Kivior to start. It's quite a while since Tomiyasu has played for us, so I'll probably wait for him a couple of games before I bring him in. And for me, the rest of the team picks itself apart from whether Martinelli's injured or not. I think if he's injured, I would maybe contemplate on playing Jesus instead of Trossard, because I think he's just such a good impact sub, Trossard. And I think Jesus has got that sort of X factor that you need in those big games. But I mean, on the other hand, Trossard's scored some big goals in big moments against Porto and Liverpool.
Do you not find that Trossard is a better impact player in the sense of coming on as a sub? And did you say play Jesus because if Martinelli wasn't fit?
Just if he's injured, I'd play Martinelli 100% if he's ready. It's just in the case that if he's injured, I'd probably play Jesus and have Trossard come off the bench.
Yeah, Trev, come in. Come off mute then if you want to come in. You asked to come in and then go on mute.
I've just been listening to Alex there and I agree with 99% of it. My team for me is obviously Raya in goal, and then I can't see how you can break the back four of White, Gabriel, Saliba, and Kivior. It's just been purring. It fits together so well, the jigsaw. I can't see how you can break that, you know. And then, much like Alex, I've got Rice and Jorginho. I've got Jorginho in before Partey. I think that Jorginho has shown some superb qualities in our last few games. He's shown that old wise head, and so I want him in, and obviously Rice is the greatest signing of the season. I was talking to someone the other night. Oh, we were talking last Monday when we were on. The most astonishing thing for me is Rice seems to know where the ball's going about 3 seconds before it goes there. He reads the game so well. And then the front four for me is Odegaard, Saka, Martinelli, and someone that gets more important by game is Havertz. Havertz has put, for me, Havertz has put a completely different perspective on the Arsenal front line. And he's, as his confidence has grown, I found he's getting into positions on the field where he gets much better chances to impact the game, you know? I just feel that in his early days, his confidence wasn't there and he might have been just holding back a bit and not making them runs or not getting into them positions where that's all changed now. That's all gone. He's really getting into some goal-scoring positions. And if everyone's fit, you know, and we play that team, that leaves us with Partey, Ramsdale, Trossard, Tomiyasu, Zinchenko, Jesus, Smith-Rowe, Nelson, and someone I might have forgotten on the bench. And the bench looks... Whoa, the bench is frighteningly strong.
Tim, you know, was probably so close to being on the bench as well.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Dan, I'm excited.
Yeah, Dan, the question that's put in the chat here, I think it's James, Rice 8 or 6. I know what I think. Go what you think, and if you're going with what I think, who'd you put in 6?
The answer for me is both. He switches during the game. And when we've got the ball, he presses up as an 8 and Jorginho slots in because he's better on the ball. It's nothing against Rice, but Jorginho, when he drops in into those positions, he's much better on the ball at breaking lines. But then without the ball, the thing that always worries me with Jorginho is his legs. And for him to be up and down the pitch as an 8 for 90 minutes against a team like City is going to be difficult. So Rice has to be the guy that has the legs and covers the pitch. So you'll see them switch. The only thing for me in terms of a lineup, as I said, with legs for Jorginho, I've always been a bit worried. But I think he's put that to bed in the last couple of months. I think he's genuinely been outstanding for Arsenal and he's a key player. I do think a fit Partey that's got match fitness walks into the team for this sort of game, but I think he hasn't got the match fitness. And for me, it would be a huge risk to drop him into this game. So has to be Jorginho, Rice and Odegaard as a 3. The back five picks itself, honestly, best away record in the league. Only 11 goals conceded. That's the reason we are where we are this season, that sort of form and how the defence has been, and that doesn't change. Up front, look, Havertz, how much stick did he get at the start of the season? And he is a key man for us now, and he's been fantastic. And I think for me, he's our starting centre forward at the moment. Saka picks himself, he's never going to drop out. And then it's just praying that Martinelli starts, because Martinelli and Saka on each wing attacking the space in behind for City is where we're gonna win the game. If Martinelli's not fit, I don't think I start Trossard. I think I agree with Alex. I think Jesus has to start. And it's because we have to get in behind that space where it is on the byline. I don't think Trossard's that man. Trossard's a man for control. And don't get me wrong, he's more clinical than Martinelli this season. But yeah, I feel like Trossard isn't a good fit for starting this game.
No, I wouldn't have him start in the game. I said that the lineup should be virtually the same as the Porto lineup and all the other lineups, with swapping Martinelli out, Martinelli in for Trossard. Or if I'm not sure if Jesus in for Trossard if Martinelli's not available. I don't know. I don't know who's the bigger impact. I don't know. But look, it's got the recipe to be a high-scoring game, but they're not normally a high-scoring game because both teams cancel out each other. But there are some interesting stats on here that Manchester City score 24% of their goals between 76 minutes and 90. Arsenal score 23% of their goals in that period of time. Arsenal haven't lost any of the last 40 home... Man City haven't lost any of the last 40 home matches. Arsenal on an 8-game Premier League winning streak. Arsenal haven't scored in 2 of their last 14 away matches in the Premier League. And we've scored bundles of goals recently. We were talking about no goals around Christmas, and then Christmas came and the floodgates opened. We were talking about we needed a striker. Trevor, you said 2-0 Arsenal, but you know, where do you see those battles? Haaland, I think Saliba and Gabriel, if they're fit, Haaland in Saliba's pocket. I think that's done. But how do we get Odegaard in and behind them.
Look, right, Dan just alluded to it just now. And we need high energy levels. We need to be running around the field for 90 minutes. And we've got the two best players that are doing that in Odegaard will run all day. Odegaard will hassle and harry. When we're on the press, Odegaard is like having two players on the press. He's that quick and he moves that sharp. And along with Rice reading the game so well, and if we play Jorginho sitting in, I'd like to see Jorginho sitting in just behind Rice, but Dan's exactly right. It's lovely when you see him interchange. I have no concerns there, right? I'm hoping Haaland and Pep, I have no doubt, will have sat down this week and said, look, you've not had so much joy against the Arsenal in the last couple of games, Erling. What are you going to do? So I'm expecting some surprises from Haaland, whether he gets a bit wider or drops a bit deeper, I don't know. But I'm expecting him to change his game a little. But then you look at where do Man City normally pressure us? They normally break wide. They love to get the ball out wide. And I'm very comfortable with our defenders in that situation. That's why I like the thought of Kivior playing rather than Zinchenko, because I think Zinchenko will leave a bit of space behind for them quick moving passes from Man City. So looking at it logically, Ferg, I don't worry about anywhere on the Arsenal defensive or midfield play and attack. I do not worry about it. I know that if they all play how they can, the best of their ability, if every Arsenal player on the field is out there and wanting to win, then we can easy win. I mean, easy win. If we play to our best, we will be better. We'll be better than Manchester City. Just before I shut up, I love what we're saying about Jesus, boys. I don't mind Jesus coming back in, but I don't want him through the middle. I don't want him playing in the middle at the expense of Havertz. I think that's key for me, really key as well. But as we all know, Arteta always has a surprise or two up his sleeve for all of us, doesn't he? So who knows what he's going to be thinking. But to recap, Ferg, for 2 seconds, looking at the whole of the Arsenal 11 that I think are going to be on the side, not one of them worries or concerns me. Not one.
Alex, do we need to come out of the traps really strong? Do we need to go at them? Just your final thoughts on this game. And I haven't had yours and Dan's predictions. What do you think? How do you think we need to do? Do we need to be cautious or do we need to go for it?
I think it's a fine balance because I think, obviously, when you're playing Man City, we know their strengths and their qualities. So I think you've got to be a bit more pragmatic than playing against other teams. And I think Haaland, I'm not too worried about focusing too much about him because he's not going to create anything for himself or by himself. He's going to need all the other players and mainly De Bruyne. So I think keeping De Bruyne quiet is going to be key because he's always so good in those big games. And it usually comes from him when they score in those big games. So big focus on keeping him quiet. I can imagine Rice being on him throughout the game. And then I think pragmatic to begin with, and then we will ease us into the game and hopefully take control and build the confidence throughout the game and go from there. And then we got to just be clinical because we know they don't give too many chances away, Man City. So we just have to take our chances in the game and hopefully we will. Predictions. I'm confident and I think we can win, so I'm going to predict the win as well. It's going to be tight though. I'll go for a 1-0 win.
Okay, very confident. I predicted on the Highbury squad, Guns and Yellow Ribbons crossover, probably more with my heart than my head and everything else. I went 3-1 Arsenal, but I think the key is not losing the game. I think after speaking to you guys, I'm feeling a lot more confident. I'm sure by the time I put this down and go to sleep and wake up in the morning, I'll feel less confident. Dan, your final thoughts on this and picking up on the point that Alex said about keeping De Bruyne and Rodri, I suppose, as well as another key player for them.
I honestly think this won't be as gung-ho and open as people think it will be. I think this will be a really, really cagey game. And I know last year we went there in the first 10 minutes and really tried to press them and really tried to dominate and get on top. And then ultimately City's quality showed through. I think both sides will be cagey. I hope we shift a little bit to a team that tries to play in transition as opposed to try to go there and control the game. Because I don't think you can do that too often to a side like Man City when they're at home. But we've been so solid that I think we can sit in and soak things up more than we've ever been able to do. And we do have the players to hit on the counter. So for me, it's going to be a bit more how we are without the ball, how we press, and then being clinical when we take, sort of get the opportunities to go. For that reason, I am going to go 2-1 to the Arsenal. And surprisingly, if you back a 4-4 draw, as I said earlier, for Liverpool and Brighton, and a 2-1 Arsenal win against City, you get odds of 1,511-1. So anyone that bets on that and wins, you owe me a pint.
Go on, Trev.
if you use the discount code CAPODAN on SkyBet, you don't get anything. So, yeah, 1,511-1.
Danny boy, you have got to go and have a quid on that now.
I'm tempted.
You know, if you don't, you've got to. Ferg, can I go first? I want to answer this question from Henty, right? Henty's a great lad. We know he's full of statistics. Great man of the Arsenal. Love him on social media. If you don't follow Henty, go follow him now. You won't be disappointed. But the question is, are you more worried, if at all, whether it's finding the net or defending?
Good question.
Well, I can answer that pretty quickly, Henty, in that. We're scoring goals for fun. We scored most goals. I'm not worried about us finding the net. We're defending brilliantly. We've got the best defence in the league. So I'm not worried about us defending. I don't have a worry, Henty. I know that we're going up against a superb football team in Manchester City. But I know that on our day, I've seen it with my own eyes many times this season. We're a superb football team and we can match them and we will match them. I don't know what you boys want to add to that, Ferg.
Now, I type of agree that defensively, I don't think we've had an issue. I think, like, you know, there was all talk over David Raya, over Ramsdale, both great keepers. I think this game will play into David Raya's feet very, very well. I'm expecting a great game from him and being able to play out and do the press. Defensively, if Gabriel and Saliba are fit, again, I've got no concerns. Finding the net, if I was to pick one of the two things, probably finding the net, only because, you know, we have scored a lot of goals against a poor West Ham, poor Sheffield United and Burnley. But we are scoring goals and we have unlocked Kai Havertz. We have found a way of getting Rice, Havertz, Odegaard and that midfield to tick, which was the thing that wasn't working around Christmas. It's now ticking and going. Like you, Trev, I'm not really concerned about both. If we can get our game going, we should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, weirdly enough for me, I'd probably be more worried about... I'm not worried, but like the main thing would be the scoring, because I think we're going to create chances. I have no doubt we'll create chances. It's just... I just hope it isn't one of those days where we hit the post and things go City's way. But I think we'll create chances. It's just we've got to take them when we get those chances.
Dan, finally.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. Generally not worried at all. I'm more expectant, as I said. And one of the main reasons why I'm gutted at the minute about not having a ticket is that I'm expecting it to be a great day. And I'm expecting me to be missing out on a fantastic celebration, because I generally think we can go there and get a win and show that we are not just contenders, but, you know, on our way to win the league.
Final question, and it's just a 1-2-word answer. Is a draw a disaster?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just reference what I said earlier. I think I said that if we lose it, we're not out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're not going to lose.
It's not a disaster.
The key is to keeping the race and keeping the game. We have got 230 people watching us across all different platforms. We'd love, if you like what we do, this is a thing that I don't know how much we're going to be able to do this Thursday night one with all the games coming up, because we've got games every two every two or three days over the next couple of months, right up to the end of the season. But we'll definitely be doing Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Go over here onto our YouTube channel. Click on the like and subscribe. We'd love you to go over there and subscribe with us. Guys, it's been an absolute blast.
Wait, Ferg. You always forget to say it, right? We love everybody to subscribe. The more subscribers, the better. But you just need to know, subscribe doesn't mean as in pay subscribe. We don't get paid for doing this. Fergus spends money putting this all together for us. And all it means is that Fergus can do a few more things with StreamYard and with YouTube. And the more subscribers you get, the more opportunities you get to improve what you do. Yeah. And Fergus deserves that. Fergus deserves to be able to do better things with this because he's been absolutely fantastic with it. It saddens me to say because he does me head in, but yeah, he does do some fantastic things. And one other thing, Ferg, I've got to say one other thing before we go. My mate down below me, just like the other two, my mate Capo Dan, right, he's an astonishing follower of the Arsenal. He what he does at Block 5 is fantastic. The travels, I've seen him do 120-mile journeys in an Uber after he's just got off an aeroplane to get to an Arsenal game. So if anybody out there that we know of has a ticket come up, no matter how last minute it is, drop one of us a message, make Capo Dan's day, because it's not fair that he's missing Sunday's game. He deserves to go, the boy. So if you hear anything, let us know, please. Right, Ferg, I'm shutting up now.
Thank you, Trev. That was actually...
Go on, Dan.
We're not crazy anymore. Do you know what? At the start of the show, he didn't even have my name on the credits. He left me off, wasn't invited, only turned up so I could annoy him, to be honest.
Yeah, and you've achieved that. Go on, you were going to say to Trevor, go on.
I was going to say, thank you very much, Trevor. generally, thank you. It's obviously nice. And I was just about to say something about Trevor earning enough money from Sky, so he doesn't need to earn money from subscriptions anymore. So.
Yeah,
we've got a very famous man now on our show that appears everywhere. His tats and his face is all over the world at the minute. So,
yeah,
I'm up in the top tier on Sunday, so I'm out of the way. But for Brighton, I'm right at the front. Wolverhampton, I'm right at the front. So I shall be doing my best.
Okay,
what a great show, boys. And it, Ferg, right? Isn't it great? We
had an hour.
Two or three years ago, we'd have previewed that Man City game and we wouldn't have smiled once in an hour between us. And look at us now. Look at us now, right? We're buzzing because we know what we've got. We're buzzing. I love it.
And Trev, in a week, us four will all be together for another game as well.
Brighton,
I'm busting for that as well.
I'm not going.
Munich. Oh no, wait, Fergus is letting the side down.
I am. Listen, let's not forget this man on Sunday. Let's sing up for Rocky. It's Rocky Rocastle Day, 31st of March. We're gonna smash them.
Are we mentioning the 7th minute? Not that people need reminding, but apparently everyone at the game be going. It's obviously singing Rocky's name in the 7th minute.
Absolutely.
Don't forget if you're there. And the flag will be flying apparently pre-game.
Yeah. Brilliant. Excellent. Guys, it's been excellent. I did say an hour. We've overshot again because Trev and Dan just waffled on and stuff like that. But, you know, we try. You have been watching Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. We will speak to you all on Monday. As I said, if you like what we do, the leprechaun, go to YouTube, like and subscribe. Up the Arsenal, fuck the Spurs and Man City.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.